We're going to finish up the Ten Commandments today, praise God. We've been looking at this for a few months. We finally come to the last one. Exodus chapter 17, verse 17. He says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." The 10th commandment, commandment number 10, talks about the sin of covetousness and the virtue of contentment. To covet means to have an intense desire. It is used in the Bible in both a positive and a negative sense. Sometimes you will hear people say to you, "I covet your prayers." They're saying, "I have an intense desire for your prayers on a particular subject," and that's good. Are you with me? To covet is not necessarily wrong, but the Bible uses it both in the positive and in the negative. Obviously, in commandment number 10, in verse 17, it is talking about the negative part. The last commandment goes beyond outward behavior. It deals with our inner attitudes, which is where the Bible teaches that sin begins. It's not just an outward stuff. To have an intense desire for something doesn't just happen on the outward. It starts on the inside. And that's what this commandment is talking about. Again, we need to pay attention to the inside, because in 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, the Bible tells us that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. That's what you and I need to concentrate on. What's on the inside? Because that's what God is looking at. God is not looking at your outward. God does not care if you're bald or you're losing your hair. God does not care about how good looking you think you are. He's concerned about the condition of my heart, about the condition of your heart, what's really on the inside. Because that's where sin starts from. Are you with me? And if you and I take care of the inside, believe me, the outward will take care of itself. President Lincoln was holding his two crying sons one day, and somebody asked him, "What's wrong with the boys? Why are they crying?" He's holding to his two sons and they're both crying. And Lincoln said, "Exactly what's wrong with the whole world. I have three walnuts and each boy wants two." Covetousness. We got to really watch ourselves. Let's begin in 1 Timothy chapter 6. A passage we're very familiar with. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." Remember, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy the evangelist. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to people on the outside. He's talking to you and I. That we got to be very, very careful. That we got to watch ourselves. He says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Then reminds us that we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. I've been alive for almost 50 years. And I've been to many funerals. And I've been on the road when I see hearses go by and people are going to bury their loved ones. I have never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse. Maybe you've seen it. I doubt it. Because we come nothing into this world and we're going to live with nothing. And we've got to ask ourselves, what is all this running around we're doing? What is it for? We got to be very careful that we don't allow created things to dominate our lives. Remember the first commandment? God says, you will have no other gods besides me. The 10th commandment is talking about, you shall not covet. Very interesting. The first one, you shall have no other gods besides me. The last one, in a lot of ways, is repeating what he said first. And believe me, God includes this in there again for a reason. Because we don't hear too good. Because what are we busy doing? Coveting. And acquiring stuff. There's a program I saw the other day on one of the cable channels about hoarders. People who just buy stuff. And to me, it's a pathetic sin. And you see these guys, there's stuff all over the house. They gotta actually get through stuff. I mean, it's like, I can't believe that people live like this. And they just keep collecting stuff. Such that sometimes the kids don't even want to come around. Because there's just stuff everywhere. I'm talking piled up to the roof. In every room. Covetousness. And it's always amazing to me, you talk to all these guys, they always talk about how when they were growing up, they didn't have much. And all of a sudden, now obviously, they grew up, and now they have the ability to make money, and they can buy stuff, and they just start buying. And they don't give stuff away. Covetousness. We got to be very, very careful. Amen? We came with nothing. We're going to live with nothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, you can write this reference down. 1 Corinthians 6, 10. It talks about how the greedy cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a greedy person, I'm sorry, you are not going to go to heaven. That's what my Bible says. If anything, this commandment, in my opinion, is going to keep a lot of people out of heaven. This is the problem right here. For all of us living in the West. Remember what Jesus said, it is very hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. You say, I'm not rich. Oh, yes, you are. Most of this world lives on $2 and less a day. The minimum wage in America is $7 something. We are very rich. We got to watch ourselves. Because we came with nothing, we're going to live with nothing. Ask yourself this question, honestly. Is there anything in your possession? Is there anything in your house? Is there anything that you own as we speak that you cannot give away? Seriously. Is there anything you have that you cannot give away? You better check yourself. I'm talking of objects. I'm not talking of relationships. I'm not talking of your wife or your husband or your kids. We're not talking about human. Okay? I'm not giving my kids away. You're not giving your wife away either. So we're not talking about that. Honestly, that car you own, could you give it away this afternoon if somebody needed it? He said, I don't know, Mr. Richard. You got a problem. Let me be the first one to tell you from this pulpit. Is there anything you own that you cannot give away? You got some covetousness in you. You got to check yourself, amen? It's going to be quiet in here. You see, this sin is largely ignored by most people, including Christians. You'll never see a headline that reads, man found guilty of covetousness. It's not happening in this society. If anything, our whole society is based on capitalism and advertising. That's all you see on TV. Get this product new and improved. You're one purchase away from happiness. That's all that's going on. There's one that's been coming out lately, I'm not sure who it is, where somebody goes into a store to buy a cell phone, and they come out and they see an ad, and there's a new and improved one. That's why I don't do technology, I'm sorry. The moment you buy the stuff, before you get home, it's already obsolete. These guys know what they're doing. It's all about money. Okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't use technology. But be very careful. I mean, you see people, oh, this new product is coming out. Whether it's iPad 2 or the iPod this or this pod what. I mean, and you see people lining up at night for days to watch. Oh, I want to be one of the first ones to have one. People are sick. Covetousness. It doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, man. I ain't sleeping on no sidewalk for nobody. To own a product, then they're pushing themselves, killing themselves to get in. Big deal. So you're the first one, one of the first guys to get one. So? You haven't got any taller as a result. I mean, we see this stuff around us every day. That's all capitalism is based on. Hey, you need this. If you get this, then you'll really be happy. Then you'll really be fulfilled. And the worst thing about this society is, you know, we go in, first of all, we don't have the money to buy that stuff, we go buy it on credit. It doesn't make sense. It's very simple economics. You don't have the money in your pocket to buy something, then you don't buy it. I didn't get any amen on that one. You don't have the money for something, don't buy it. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The only thing I believe that somebody should buy on credit is a house. Because that's a lot of money. You don't have 250 grand just, you know, sitting in your safe. If you do, you and I need to talk. Because you need to be giving more to the work of the Lord. If you have that money just sitting around doing nothing. Okay? That's a different conversation that I will have with you. I have biblical authority to do it. And I will quote it very quickly. Are you with me? But really, apart from that, you should save up your money and then get stuff. Better yet, wait for a while. When something comes out, after several months, after a few years, guess what? The price is going to come down. It's economics. And then you got your money and then go get it. Amen? I love a bargain. You've heard me say that so many times. I don't pay full price for anything. Why? When this suit I'm wearing, when it came out by Just Bank, I was there and they said $450. I just smiled. I said, you people must be crazy. $450 for one suit. I'm not paying that price. It's not possible. And so I waited. Actually, I waited 2.5 years. Because I just go to their website and just check. What's the price? And it's not low enough. And then one day I got up there and it was like $99. I said, now we're talking. And I ordered it instantly. It looks good, doesn't it? The other guys in this county, they paid $450 for theirs. I didn't pay $450 for mine. I can tell you that right now. But see, all I'm saying is, you know, we got to be very careful. It says here that we should not covet our neighbor's house, our neighbor's spouse, our neighbor's servants, and our neighbor's animals. You see, back then, wealth was measured by how much herd you had, how big your household was. Are you with me? It was mainly an agricultural society, an agrarian society. This day, when people ask you, today, what's your net worth? In other words, they're asking you, how much stock do you have? How much money do you have in your 401k? That's what we're asking today. Are you with me? I like, whenever that was several weeks ago, I think it was several, a few months ago, when Harold was teaching, I can't even remember what he was talking about. One of our classes Sunday morning, he says, you know what, some of us are 401, the K has dropped off. I thought that was very funny. Okay? My K dropped off, my one dropped off. I mean, things are tough. But you see, our trust cannot be in things. Our trust can't be in the economy. Our trust has to be in God. Are you with me? Because remember, God created all this stuff. God gave us the ability to have all this stuff. There's nothing wrong in having stuff, but you better be careful that your stuff does not own you. And that's where sometimes some of us we fall. Amen? There's nothing wrong in having stuff, but just make sure that your stuff does not own you. Amen? Look in Matthew 16. Very simple question that Jesus asked when he walked the earth. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 25, says, you want to be my disciple? There's some things I'm going to require of you. He says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Verse 26, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Says, what good is it if you gain the whole world? What good is it if you're the richest man in the world? What good is it if you have the ability to have everything and you lose your soul? It's not worth it. You and I know the answer to that question. You see, the problem some of us have is that we want to be Christians, we want to follow God, but we also want the world at the same time. You can't have both, I'm sorry. Jesus is not going to rewrite the word of God for your sake. You have to gonna give it all up, just like all of us did. That's what you're going to have to do. Because what good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? It's not worth it. Amen? Amen? You know, it makes sense if you think about it. See, everything in this world is temporary. Our lives is temporary. Things are temporary. Everything is temporary. The only thing that's eternal is your soul. God's word, and obviously God himself. So why run around and gain all this stuff at the expense of our souls? It doesn't make any sense. I want to be a Christian, but I want to be worldly at the same time. I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways. Like we say in the world, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I want to be a Christian, but I want to date worldly guys. I'm sorry, it doesn't happen. It's not going to happen in this church. I'm sorry. My Bible says a Christian marries a Christian. That is what we teach. That's what we believe in this church. A Christian marries a Christian. Not a Christian marries a believer. There's a big difference. There are a lot of people that believe in God. They believe in Jesus. They are not Christians according to the scriptures. So let's get that one straight. But see, that's what's keeping some of us out of the kingdom of God. We want one foot in the world, one foot in Christ. I'm sorry. I mean, if I was walking around the fellowship like this, you say, Mr. Richard, there's something wrong with you. It looks ridiculous. Because it can't be done. It shouldn't be done. It wasn't designed that way. Amen? You're all in. I don't gamble. But I watch these guys. So first of all, I don't understand how people even do it. Royal flush, full house. I don't know. I don't know the left from my right. I don't know. But you see these guys, and you know they have their chips in front of them, and you know, and they, you know, they take a few chips and they put it out there. They call, and they say, well, I raised that. I'm sitting there going, I just take all the stuff from and just push it in. That's just the way I roll. I'm sorry. I'm all in. Just put it all out there. Oh, you're going to lose. Fine. Then I can go and go do something else. I honestly, I don't know how people do it. You know, just do it three. It's like, we're going to be here all day. Just go all in. Let's get it over with. That's the way the Bible is in most cases. You're either all in or you're out. There's no itty bitty. Are you with me? We can't become Christians by having one foot in the world. If you want to gain the whole world, you will forfeit your soul. It's not worth it. Amen? Look in Luke chapter 12. And we're going to talk about this one. We're talking about the sin of covetousness. In Luke chapter 12, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus again. My surplus grain, excuse me. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" You don't see this guy acquiring all this stuff. Say, "You know what? Man, I got all this stuff. Let me give it away. Let me use it to help other people. Let me use it to feed those that are hungry." He said, No. I'm going to build me some bigger barns. So I have place to store my stuff. God says, "You know what? I'm watching you. If that's your heart, if that's your attitude, you better watch out. We are going to be attending your funeral very soon. And I promise you, we are not going to take a U-Haul from your property, your house, to the cemetery. It's not happening. First of all, they don't even have land in the cemetery to bury your stuff with you anyhow. So it's not happening. Amen? It is not happening. We got to be very careful. We came with nothing, we're going to live with nothing. As if that was not bad enough. Let me tell you something. All this stuff is all going to burn up, the Bible says. I'm sorry, man. That nice, cute car is going... My house... It's going up in smoke one day. That's what the Bible teaches. God is going to burn everything up. Big bonfire at the end of time. It's in the Bible. We're going to get to it. The bishops are going to get to it in a few weeks. It's all going to burn up. Everything. We've got to ask ourselves the question, is it worth it? But ask yourself this question. Are you covetous? There's some telltale signs. Do you have annoying anxiety for what you don't have? Number two, are you ungrateful and sometimes complaining? Number three, are you in debt and abusing credit cards? Four, are you generous? Do you give things away easily? That's a huge one right there. Do you own things or do your things own you? There's a rich young ruler right here, the last number five. He wasn't willing to give it all up. We got to be careful that covetousness does not permeate our lives, because covetousness permeates our world. You and I need to trust God for our needs. Amen. Now look in James chapter 4. We're almost done. See, God is the answer to all this stuff. To me, one of the biggest heresies that's been taught today is all this prosperity gospel. It's a bunch of nonsense. Oh, if you're a Christian, God just wants to bless you. How can you be a Christian and be poor? People say that from the pulpit. My Bible says poverty and prosperity come from God. These liars will tell you, oh, poverty is from the devil. Lie. Both come from God according to the scriptures. And if you go look at it, every time prosperity is used, that word in the NIV, all of it except one reference is in the Old Testament. And every single time it talks about obedience to God. It's not talking about money. It's not talking about having things. But people have twisted it. And now you see churches being packed because people are being told what they want to hear. Sin is never addressed. People are never called out to change. It's just, oh man, just come, brother. Oh, God loves you, brother. Aren't you wonderful, brother? Oh, your miracle is just around the corner. Your blessing is just about to come. Just call it down, brother. It makes me sick. God is really long-suffering. Because if it were up to me, I would take all those guys out in one day. But you see, unfortunately, that's what people love. That's what they want to hear. In James chapter 4, it says, verse 1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, yet you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Amen? Oh God, I want this. I want this. Why? That's the question God is asking. Why do you want the bigger pay? Why do you want the better job? Why do you want the bigger house? What do you want? Why do you want the minivan? What for? Why do you want the sports car? Is it just so that you can cruise around town with the top down? Or are you going to use that car to help people become Christians? Or are you going to use that car to help serve the poor? That's what God is interested in. Amen? We got to check our motives. God, because God sees our hearts. I believe all this prosperity gospel is actually satanic. That's my conviction. Because it's so opposite from what the Bible teaches. Jesus says, do not store up for your treasures on this earth. And these preachers are telling people different. And people like dummies, they keep giving their money. Thinking, yeah, if the pastor is blessed, then I guess that some of that blessing will trickle down to me. Really? Show me the verses that says that. Amen? Amen, church? We got to remember that God is going to take care of us. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. A passage we're very familiar with. How do we learn contentment? It says keep your lives free from the love of money. Notice it doesn't say keep your lives free from money. It says the love of money. And be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Woo, what an awesome promise. This is good enough for me. Okay, give me God, you can take everything else. Amen? God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God knows what we need. Amen? God is going to take care of us. Amen? We got to take our eyes off of the self of this world. We can't be trying to live like and be like the Joneses. Like I said to you before, the Joneses are broke. You don't know that, do you? They're broke. Don't try and be like them. Be content with what you have. Because God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And then this is one of our memory verses. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Don't forget, we're having a midterm on Thursday night. Some of you, I will give it to you on Sunday. But everybody who's a member of this church is going to take that test. I'm telling you now. I told you on Thursday. Okay? So don't think you can hide. We need to study the Word of God in our hearts. The 20 scriptures that we need to memorize and know. Amen? We're going to be tested on Thursday. I'm reminding you again. Okay, I'm not a wicked professor. I'm telling you ahead of time. You already know the answers. You already know the questions. Amen? And everybody needs to get an A. No exception. So I was baptized last week. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Okay? That's going to be on the test. There it is. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Amen? That's 10 commandments. This talks about not coveting. Amen, church? I'll do a quick recap. Somebody sent this to me a few weeks ago, and I thought it was really funny. You know, we do live in the South. All right? And some of you are from the South. In other words, you're from Georgia, or you're not from too far away. North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, all that stuff. That's all good. But a lot of us, we've lost our accents. We don't talk like the people from the South. Although if you went to New York or you went to Boston, they would pick up very quickly that you're from the South. Okay? But because we're with this other, we don't hear it anymore. But honestly, I mean, we really don't sound like we're from here. We really don't sound like we're from the country. Okay? People up north, they call us we're country people down here. Alright? And so somebody sent me this in terms of the Ten Commandments, Thousand Style. Okay? Just one God. Stop with nothing for God. Watch your mouth. Give yourself to Sunday meeting. Honor your mom and pa. No killing. No fooling around with another man's God. Don't take what ain't yours. No telling tales or gossiping. Don't be hankering for your neighbor's stuff. Now that's plain and simple. Y'all have a nice day now. You hear?
Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, you are truly amazing. Father, without you, what's possible? Father, with you, everything's possible. Father, as we come to you this evening, this afternoon, Father, as we heard the message that we just heard, as we took the time to go through your Ten Commandments, Father, I pray that you give us just the means, just the opportunity to truly look at them, Father. Look at the words that you've given us. Look at the words that you've instructed us to run our lives by. Father, I pray that as we look at those words, as we take them and use them and truly believe in what you're telling us, Father, that we understand the way that you want us to live our lives, that we truly understand the things that you want us to do in our lives, that, Father, that this life is truly not that important. Father, that a life according to the way you want us to live it is the true meaning. Father, I pray that as we leave today, that we take it in heart. Not to look at this world for answers, not to look into this world for the things that we think that we need, Father, but to understand that we truly and only need and desire you. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for everything that you give us. Thank you that you've given us health and strength. Father, I pray that we are content with just that. Father, I pray that we are content with you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.